As you read the opening chapter of the book of Acts, you will read of the Lord Jesus before he ascended back into heaven, speaking to his disciples and telling them that they were to wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit coming upon them in great power. And then they were to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus, first of all in Jerusalem, then in all Judea, into Samaria, and eventually to the uttermost parts of the world. And as you continue to read through this book of Acts, you see the outworking of that plan and purpose of God. When we come here to the chapter we have read from tonight, in chapter 8, at the beginning of that chapter, we discover there was a great persecution against the church. Though they had enjoyed days of great blessing, the Holy Spirit being poured out on the day of Pentecost, multitudes responding to the preaching of God's word and coming to trust in Christ for salvation. Yet, of course, there was opposition against the preaching of the gospel. And here in chapter 8, because of the great persecution that arose against the church at Jerusalem, God's people were scattered. That, of course, did not hinder God's plan. That was part of the outworking of God's plan, because as they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. We read concerning this man Philip. He went into Samaria and he preached the gospel, and there was great joy in the city as people responded to the preaching of God's word. They turned from sin. They trusted in Christ for salvation. And as Philip was there and enjoying God's blessing upon his ministry, God called him to leave Samaria and to go to what is called the way, in verse 26, where we began our reading, the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, a place that was desert. There Philip was going to encounter one man, a man from Ethiopia. And through Philip's witness and preaching, this man would come to faith in Christ, and he would take the gospel, even in his own experience and by his own testimony, to the uttermost parts of the world. Tonight, for a few moments, I want us to focus in upon this man. He was a man, we're told in verse 27, who had great authority. He had the charge of all the treasure of the queen of the Ethiopians. And yet, in meeting with Philip and hearing the gospel message, he received what all that treasure could not purchase, because he received eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And tonight, if you're not saved, you need to receive the same gift of salvation. You need also to repent of your sin and come by faith to Christ for salvation. And as we think upon this man, this Ethiopian, the first thing I want you to consider tonight, that he was a concerned man. He had a concern about spiritual things. He had a concern about his soul. He had a concern about the great eternity. He had a concern about how he could be right with God. How do we know? Well, we are told there in the verse 27 that this man had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He had traveled a long distance to worship God. And we are told in verse 28 that he was returning from that journey to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and as he was returning, he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. He was reading part of the Word of God, part of the Old Testament scriptures. You see, it wasn't enough for this man that he had made a long journey to Jerusalem. He had been, we could say, in the public place of worship, but on his journey home, it was evident that the concern that he had in his soul was not just satisfied by traveling there to Jerusalem for to worship. He was still searching. He was still concerned. He was reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. It may have been that when he was in Jerusalem, he had heard part of the prophecy of Isaiah read and explained. Now as he travels home, he's reading from the prophecy of Isaiah for himself. He's reading aloud, because in the verse 30, when Philip ran thither to him, Philip heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And when we read of the particular portion that he was reading in verse 32, we discover that he was reading from the chapter that we know as Isaiah 53, one of the most familiar passages in all the Word of God. A passage where the prophet Isaiah was prophesying in great detail of the sufferings of the Messiah when he would come into this world. He would not only live a perfect life to provide a perfect righteousness for those who would trust him, he would go to the cross at Calvary. He would suffer severely. Not only suffer at the hands of men, but suffer at the hands of God as the great sacrifice for sin, the great substitute for sinners. So here is this man from Ethiopia. He's a man with a concern for his soul. And I wonder tonight, as you sit here in the house of God, no better place you could be on the Lord's Day evening than in the public place of worship, in the place where God is worshipped, in the place where the gospel is proclaimed. But I wonder tonight, first of all, if you're here and you're out of Christ, can you honestly say tonight you have a concern for your soul? You have a concern to know how you can be right with God? You have a concern as to where your soul will be in the great eternity? Have you a concern to escape hell and someday be in heaven? Have you a concern to have your sins forgiven before God? Have you a concern to be in the family of God? And even tonight, if you are saved, have you a concern to keep pressing on with God? Have you a concern, such a concern, whether saved or unsaved, that you're not just content in coming to the public place of worship, but in your own home that you take time to read the Word of God? The Lord Jesus, when he was here upon earth, we read in John's Gospel of how on one occasion he said to those around him, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Of course, if you're not saved tonight, a concern for your soul will not actually save your soul. But it's the first step to have that concern. What a terrible thing to have no concern for your soul, to have no concern about your standing before God, to have no concern about where you will be in the great eternity. This man had a concern about spiritual things, a concern for his soul. But you know, with that concern, I want us to see in the second place that this man was confused about spiritual things. You know, as we come to think about that, it reminds us as we well, think of Philip here speaking to him. If you're a believer in your travels day by day, do you look out for opportunities to speak to people about their soul? This man who had this concern for his soul, we discover that when Philip was sent to him, that he was a confused man. Though he had been to Jerusalem to worship, though he had a portion of God's word and he was reading from it, he didn't understand who the prophet Isaiah was speaking about. If you look there at the verse 29, we read of how the Spirit of God said unto Philip, "Go near, and join thyself to this chariot." In verse 30, in obedience, Philip ran thither to him. And as Philip heard this man reading from the prophecy of Isaiah, of course familiar, the words were familiar to Philip. He knew where the man was reading from. He asked the man this question, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what God has revealed to the prophet Isaiah? And the man, very honestly, said in verse 31, "How can I except some man should guide me?" He wasn't afraid to acknowledge that he didn't fully understand what he was reading. There's no virtue in covering up what we're ignorant of. It's good to seek understanding of the Word of God, to seek help from others, to pray to the Lord for an understanding of His Word. "How can I accept some man should guide me?" And then in verse 31, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And then we're told there in verse 32 of the particular place in the scripture, in the prophecy of Isaiah, where he was reading. And I've no doubt that when you read these words from Isaiah 53, that they're familiar to you and to me tonight. We understand who's been talked about. The particular place where he was reading read like this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." Verse 33, "In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Here are verses which in Isaiah's day predicted accurately how the Lord Jesus would willingly go to the slaughter. He would willingly go to the cross as the great sacrifice for sin. He would go just like a lamb, dumb before his shearer. His life would be taken from him. He would lay down his life as the great sacrifice for sin. But in verse 34, this Ethiopian eunuch, he had this question that shows his confusion. "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Who is the prophet talking about? Is he writing about something that's going to happen to him in the future? Or is he writing about some other person? The man, with a concern for his soul, he had confusion in his heart. He had confusion concerning what he was reading. And though tonight, as we sit here in the house of God and we understand these words speak about the Lord Jesus and the sufferings that he would endure as the great sacrifice for sin, I want to remind you tonight, if you're not seeing, that God's word makes it clear that there is confusion, maybe in your soul tonight. It's not that you don't understand that this speaks about the Lord Jesus and his cross work. But maybe tonight, if you're honest, you don't fully comprehend how serious your sin is. Maybe you don't think your sin is just that serious. Maybe you think there's many others have committed more terrible sins than I. And you're confused about how your sin can be so serious in God's eyes. From a human perspective, you're a good, upright individual, a churchgoer, a good neighbor, a good worker. Maybe you're confused as to how your sin can be so serious that you need God's salvation, that you need to repent of sin, that you need by faith to embrace Christ as Savior. Well, remember tonight, God is a perfect God. God is a God who cannot sin. God is a just God who must punish sin. And God's word makes it clear, even if you were able to keep all of God's law, just offend in one point, you've sinned. You've been born as a sinner. Maybe tonight you're confused about how you could end up in that terrible place called hell, even though that's what all our sin deserves. You know, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse 14, he wrote some words which emphasize how in our unconverted condition we feel there's a confusion maybe about spiritual things. And there the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 wrote this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And by nature, you can't fully comprehend how serious your sin is and how you really need God's salvation. And yet, maybe tonight, on the other hand, if you're honest, that confusion is now in the past. And if you're honest before God, you've been brought to understand how terrible your sin is and how much you need God's salvation. And yet, you're still putting the matter off. You're still going on somehow hoping that maybe either you have lots of time in the future to be saved, or that maybe somehow you'll just get into heaven without God's salvation. This man in Acts chapter 8, he was a man with a concern for his soul. Concern about spiritual things. A concern as to how he could be right with God, but there was this confusion in his heart. The Bible says that the devil, the god of this world, he has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into their hearts. But thank God for this man, that was not the end of the story. He didn't remain a confused man, because I want you to see that this man with a concern for his soul, this man who had confusion in his heart, by God's grace, this man became a converted man. If you look at the verse 35 of Acts chapter 8, we read of how Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture. He began just where this man was reading in the prophecy of Isaiah. And he preached unto him Jesus. He presented the Lord Jesus to this man. He showed him how Isaiah was prophesying. Of course, in Isaiah's day, it was yet future. That God would send his son into this world as the Savior, as the God-man. That the God-man would live upon this earth. He would do what we cannot do as sinners. He would keep God's law perfectly. God demands perfection. We are so imperfect. God demands that his law be kept perfectly. We cannot do that as sinners. Therefore, in ourselves, we have no hope. But God sent his Son. He sent his Son to live that perfect life on behalf of every sinner who would trust him. To keep God's law perfectly. To provide for those who would trust him a perfect righteousness. Perfect standing before God. And particularly in this part of Isaiah's prophecy, Philip would have been able to show him how the Lord Jesus would also go to the cross of Calvary. And he would not only suffer at the hands of men, that cruel death of crucifixion, but in his very soul he would endure the wrath of God for the sins of his people. He would suffer hell in his soul as he hung on that cross of Calvary. He would suffer as the sin bearer. He would suffer as the great substitute for sinners. And as Philip preached Christ to this man, and no doubt called upon that man and showed him how he needed to turn from his sin and trust in what Christ had now done, because of course now in Acts chapter 8 the Lord Jesus had come and fulfilled what Isaiah had prophesied. He had lived, he had died, he had risen again. He had ascended back into heaven. The Holy Spirit had been poured out. And if this man would but turn from his sin and trust in Christ, he could be saved. He could be right with God. His soul could be satisfied. He could have an assurance that he would escape the wrath to come and someday be in heaven. And as God worked in this man's heart, because God had been working in his heart to give him the concern for his soul, and as God continued to work in his heart and used Philip as that instrument to explain the gospel, well, we discover in verse 36, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Can I not be baptized to show that I'm a believer in Christ?" What did Philip say to him? Philip didn't say, well, yes, if you be baptized, that'll wash your sins away. No, Philip said to him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you believe with all your heart that you're a sinner, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and if you will receive him as your Savior, well then, of course, you can be baptized to outwardly show what has taken place within. And that man said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He wasn't just repeating mere words. He believed in his heart that Jesus was the Son of God. He believed in his heart that Jesus Christ had come to earth to do what was necessary for his salvation. And he, by faith, received Christ as Savior. And therefore, in verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. In verse 39, we're told that when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, because Philip's work was done. Philip had presented Christ to him. The man had believed in Christ. And we're told that the eunuch not only saw him no more, but the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. The joy of sins forgiven. The joy of knowing that he now was in the family of God. The joy of knowing Christ was in his heart by the Holy Spirit. The joy of knowing he was in the family of God. The joy of knowing that he'd never be in hell. Someday he'd be in heaven. Tonight, if you're saved, you know what it is, the joy of sins forgiven. Well, if you're not saved tonight, do you not long to know that you're right with God? Do you not long to know tonight that your sins are forgiven? That you'll never be in hell, but rather someday be in heaven? Well, you can only know that if you will come, call on the Lord for forgiveness, for salvation, and simply trust in what Christ has done. Tonight you could leave this place rejoicing that your sins are forgiven. Maybe you've put the matter off many times. Maybe you keep thinking there'll always be another night. There might not be. God's word says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, there's one sense in which the gospel message is so simple. Why then put off turning from sin and trusting Christ? Why not come to him tonight? If you feel you need help tonight, you want to speak with me after the meeting, someone else, maybe you know far better in the congregation, don't be afraid to make your need known. But oh, tonight, if you're not saved, come and seek the Lord for salvation.